When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Elder Wand, a Harry Potter podcast. I'm Matt.
And I am Ezra, friends. Welcome back. We are talking about the new Secrets of Dumbledore. Were there any secrets? I don't know. Were there
the secrets that we found out important? Did they matter?
Were they obvious?
Were they obvious? Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So I heard you talking about it. You have another little Harry Potter project, man. You should pump it here.
Well, it's really so. Yeah, it's Wizarding World and Beyond. So don't be surprised if on that project we're talking Downton Abbey, Bridgerton. We just announced the other day we might be doing a Korean drama. But definitely with a Potterhead feel. So Lottie. And I do that. And so it's like Fleur and Bill. So if you ever check out our account,
right?
Yeah. Fleur and Bill, and everything that we do kind of comes from a place of like being Potterheads. And really that's kind of how we, you know, met and fell in love and all that kind of stuff is through Harry Potter. So got definitely special place in our heart. Just got back from Universal, by the way, too. So I was down there at Universal and, you know, we were in the park doing the whole nine yards, took it down, did the podcast. It's called Shell Cottage Radio. Cause again, Fleur and Bill, you know what I mean? It's right. Like they get married. Right.
That's good. Yeah.
That's good, right? Yeah. That was good. So we're talking about it. And I even said down there, it's so funny because like Matt has such strong opinions about stuff that sometimes I'm just like, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And when it comes to Star Wars, I mean, I have pretty strong opinions too about certain some things I just don't care as much about. You know right. what I mean? And you're like, I could kind of go either way on what people have to say about it. Because Lottie actually said on that episode, like, yeah, not so sure.
Yeah.
Not that she wasn't a fan of it, but just there's things that, I don't want to speak for her, but like things you like, things you don't like or whatever. So yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, it's a fun thing. You guys should go check it out. But I knew coming on here and I said it on there, I was like, Matt is going to have a slightly different opinion and a good take on it. So.
So I want Ez to go first because I always go first, and it's time to let Ez go first.
Okay. So truly, I did like it, and I was actually shocked. I was actually shocked that Lottie didn't like it as much as I, or like wasn't as, because I've agreed with Matt on Fantastic Beasts. I've been like, okay, that I like that one. The first movie, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I'm like, this is cool. I like this. I enjoy it. It was fun. It did lose me in Crimes of Grindelwald. You know, Matt actually said for him that was a step up in Crimes of Grindelwald. Like, that was a better movie. For me, it really wasn't. It was like, I put it on the same par. I was like, I don't know. I just didn't. It was too grim. It had a plot that I could not follow. And I normally am pretty good at keeping up with that kind of stuff. Normally, I'm like pretty savvy in terms of what the writers are trying to do and all that different stuff. So it lost me. I finally had to do a rewatch and had to like get my mind right on that. So yeah, I had the first one higher than the second one. Coming into this one, I was like, okay, it's straightforward, and it had some good moments. Like, it had the Dumbledore feel. Like, I felt like, okay, Matt, I'll go ahead and tell you, the part that got me the most was when Grindelwald said, "Who will love you now, Dumbledore?" And I was like, me, bro. I was like, yeah, Dumbledore, we love you. Because the look on his face, Jude Law is such a good, that, by the way, great, great. I mean, he's a 100%. Great Dumbledore.
Jude Law, that is as great as Dumbledore. Right. I want more of that.
I do too. I really like that. And by the way, I know people are divided on the Mads Mikkelsen thing and Johnny Depp. I think they both are phenomenal actors. And I think they both did and would do and will do a great job at Grindelwald. So that's tough, because I can't take anything. Like, Mads' job was to come in there and knock it out of the park, and I think he did a good job. Now, is it way different? Is he not a different Grindelwald?
Yeah, and I'll touch on that.
Right? Yeah, it does take you out of it a little bit, but he did a good job. And so for me, it was the ending. You know, all along the way, I thought it was almost too simple. I almost thought the plot was too simple. And that's where I hate to see, like, the knee-jerk kind of, okay, it was too complicated in Crimes of Grindelwald, we're going to knee-jerk and go back to this direction. Please don't do that. Just make the movie you want to make. I hate to see the studios getting in there and really, really saying, we got to do a full 180 and shift everything around. That is what they tried to do in Star Wars. That perturbed me, and it just doesn't make for a good, I don't know. And you don't really know. We never really know whose hands were in what pot or whatever. But in general, I did like it. It was a straightforward, you know, movie, kind of simple. And the end hit me with the emotions. Like, the end, I was like, okay, I'm emotionally in on Dumbledore. Like Newt caring about Dumbledore. It was the emotional stuff at the end. And that's the last thing I remember coming out of the film, was like, okay, it left me on a feel-good moment. You know what I mean? Now, early on, I was sitting there doing the whole head scratcher. I don't know about this Grindelwald guy, you know, what's a chillin', you know, all these different things. Like, did he kill that chillin' in the beginning? I thought we were going back to Crimes of Grindelwald, where they kill a child, you know? And I was like, did we really just kill a pure innocent, you know, and use necromancy? Like, this Grindelwald guy is a bad guy.
I know.
So anyways, my overall, I was pretty high on this. I wasn't actually, for me, it's about the same as the first one. Like, I have the first one pretty, not high, not higher than any of the other Potter movies, but still a really good movie that I like. And this one was at the same level. And the middle one for me is down. I didn't like the second movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you give it a score, or like, or out of 10 or out of stars, or like,
I always feel like when you ask that question too, because I'm like, well, people who listen to any of our other projects will be like, Ez gave this movie in Star Wars this score, right, and stuff like that. And it's like, so you have to operate inside of, I think, the fandom that we're the film series or whatever. For me, it was at least a 7, you know, a 7 or higher. I think towards the end, I was leaning towards 8. I was like, okay. I was thinking coming out of it, I'm like, the reviews are going to be good on this. Things are, you know, critics are going to be like, this is a good movie and a good bounce back. The box office is not as good.
It's the worst performing Harry Potter movie, period. Yeah. Period. Now, some of that is probably pandemic.
Yeah.
Some of that is probably J.K. Rowling. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as much, because if this were an amazing movie, yeah, I think the box office would be reacting differently, because people went to see Spider-Man. You know what I mean?
They did.
So Batman. People, it's not just COVID. Like, people are willing to go. Now, to be fair, right now, also something that the end of Batman was hit with was like Ukraine and Russia. So, like,
yeah,
can't see movies over there, which is a large portion of audience that obviously is affecting it. And also the fact that these are coming out on HBO Max, like the Batman, I think, was impacted a little bit by that. And that some people were like, well, I'll just wait for it. Same thing with this. It's like, well, I'll just wait for it. Especially this, because it's like less exciting than Batman.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. 8 out of 10 by the end, 7.5, 7 in the beginning. And I inched my way up to an 8. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I totally agree that it's not like the greatest thing in the world. I'm shocked by the box office stuff. I'm not shocked, but like, I do wonder, I really wish that you could compare more apples to apple. I wonder if it would be slightly different, or if it's one of those things that we look back and we say, God, it was all these factors that really affected it. Because I don't think it's like a actually terrible movie. I just think the box office is really killing it. And then you do have some critics coming out and kind of this. I mean, we got the Johnny Depp trial going on coming right now live.
I know. Like, it's a, it also, to be fair to the box office, it also is coming out at an absolutely terrible time. Yeah. Where, I mean, it's the Sonic movie is killing it. The Sonic movie's crushing it. And Doctor Strange is like just down the road.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it's just people are like, especially in COVID when people are like, you know, scared to go to the movie theater. I mean, I know it's like opening up more and everything like that. Fortunately, like we went to the movie theater, but we lived like next to this tiny movie theater. Where, like we went Saturday night. Like you'd think it's packed. There were six people in the theater. I don't know how that place stays open. I have like no idea. I'm dead serious. I have no idea how that place is open.
Right.
But we went and we were like, you know, there was like nobody around us. Everyone's all spread out.
Well, we were down at Universal and I thought it's gonna be packed. No way we're gonna get in there. I could not believe how many seats were open. Yeah. I didn't really could not believe it, because that's, again, all of your people go to Universal. I know there's other parks and stuff, but like the Harry Potter park is packed. And again, I get you're there. Why would you want to go see the film? But like even at night, like after the park was still totally tons of options. Like it was kind of mind boggling. So I don't know, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
there we go.
I have gone through the five stages of grief on this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Because it's hard, it's still hard to describe it, because I think this movie has some of the highest highs in not just the Fantastic Beasts, but all of Harry Potter.
Okay.
I think there are genuine moments in here that are some of the most moments that I was like loved. And I'm with you, the opening scene and the ending, like the dynamic of Dumbledore, he's there and he's with Grindelwald at the beginning.
Yeah.
And like they're still together, the blood pact is still there. And then at the end, he's by himself. That's heartbreaking.
That was good.
That was good.
Yeah,
that was good good. But this movie also has some of, well, it has the lowest lows in the entire thing. Yeah. And to be fair, this movie came in kind of like Rise of Skywalker, where it sort of had to fix some of the issues of the first two movies, and so it was sort of like weighed down by that. And at the same time, some of the plot lines that like have started in the first and second movie didn't like fulfill themselves that great in this movie, so I sort of have to like hold it onto this, you know. It's kind of like somehow Palpatine returned. What? Like, that's still a decision you made in that movie.
Yep.
Like, and I'll tell you the biggest issue, so I'm at like a D minus on on this movie, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But like I was going to give it a colossal F, but I'm like a D minus, which is unfortunate. Because I would rather watch moments of this movie than the other two movies. Like there are general, like up until almost the end, I was like, I think this movie is really good. And the ending just failed it for me. The ending I thought honestly was terrible, and it literally derailed the entire thing.
Yeah. Now, do you mean the ending with the wedding, or do you mean the Credence save?
The Credence save.
Credence save.
But it's not just that. It's like the whole deal. It was like the whole, like, it made sense. It felt like, I'll get to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I'll get to
it. I get you on the Aberforth stuff. So you go ahead. I'm.
Yeah. That's even that. Yeah. I will dive into that. But so, first and foremost, the single biggest issue with all three of these movies is Credence. You could cut Credence out. I mean, of all three movies, and they are instantly significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
Like his end is so pointless that it like ruined the whole thing. It ruins the whole trilogy of movies. He literally dies in the background of a screen of like a scene, because it's like, we need to shift the focus to Dumbledore and Grindelwald. It's like, no joke, man. That should have been that should have been it from the get-go. You don't even need this character. Like, and then they bring in Aberforth to make it be like, oh, it's actually Aberforth. Like, Aberforth's a character who's in like the last book for like 20 pages. He's not that big of a deal. Also, it is the actor who plays Logan in Wheel of Time, which was kind of cool.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, if you look at him. I think so, but I was like, I think that's Logan.
It might be. Might be. I
think so.
Yeah.
And then he says always, and I was like, oh my God.
That was corny. That was corny. Unnecessary.
That was like, I'm out. Like, I'm so ready to leave. But so, so that storyline has been terrible from the beginning because it's pointless. It literally is pointless and unnecessary. So you strip. So that is the biggest issue with this, the all three movies, and most, I would say, in this one, because it ends up being completely useless. Then like the lack of Tina, although there's this big theory going around right now that his assistant was like secretly Tina, like through Polyjuice. So there's a big like theory going around that she is secretly Tina, because it just, the way she talks to Newt doesn't feel like
okay.
There's a like, because she feels kind of like significant and stuff like that. So like,
all right.
But then she just sort of shows up at the end. So like, there's no resolution between Newt and Tina whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like you felt her absence in this. Like
big time.
You did.
Yep.
Well, I did like to see Jacob and Queenie get married. There's no weight to the fact that she left and chose to go with Grindelwald.
I know.
Like, they don't touch on that at all.
Skip over that.
They just skip over all of like the drama and detail as to why she did it. It's just like she just goes with him. Like, and it's not, she doesn't even say in the other movie, like, I'm going with him because in hopes someday we could, like, he sort of hints at the idea of like, maybe, you know, you could get married or something like that. Like,
right.
So you have that, but then it's never like touched on again. So it just feels like, it doesn't feel like it goes anywhere.
Right.
Now, Jacob is great in this movie, and Jacob's great in all the movies. He is the star. He is the star. He's even a bigger star than Jude Law in the whole deal, because he's like the whole reason we're there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I agree with that. Yeah.
But so like Newt and Tina's thing goes nowhere. You know, oddly enough, this movie is the best of the beasts. The beasts actually finally like matter.
Right.
in this. But I mean, the whole deal is just like, dude, it's just set. It's such a mess. And like, it's hard to, I think, view this as like one movie, as like, because they all feel like one sort of event that's just kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now to like the highs, I guess I should get to Jude Law, as we said, is amazing as Dumbledore.
Right.
Mads Mikkelsen is great as Grindelwald, but it's like,
it's,
I don't know. I feel so conflicted because, like, it was one thing to go from Dumbledore actor to the other Dumbledore actor, because like in Chamber, he's like kind of not there. And then in like Order of the Phoenix, he's kind of not there. Mm-hmm. Or in Prisoners of Azkaban.
Yeah.
So by the time you see him again, it feels like natural, because it's like, he just wasn't as there as prevalent. Whereas like you go from, I mean, both actors are great, Johnny Depp and but they play two completely different like characters in terms of style. I mean, like in Johnny Depp, feels like more Harry Potter, because he's got like a really stylized hair and like you know, it's just like they both would have worked if they had been both from like the get-go. Like Mads Mikkelsen might have even been better from the get-go,
right?
As but it's like kind of hard.
It's
because you feel, at the end of the day, you feel it. Like, good or bad, you feel it. And that, I think, hurts the movie.
Well, the other thing, too, is that Johnny Depp is such a distinct, it wasn't like
unique.
Unique. It's so big of a, like, his shoes to fill are just, it's impossible. And so, and again, that's nothing against Mads. It's just like, you set up a character that was so, why is he so famous and why does he have so much whatever? It's because he does stuff that's way outside the box, way
like atypical. Edward Scissorhands, Jack Sparrow. I mean, it's like, so like you, only Johnny Depp can play those characters.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so again, if I had seen Mads Mikkelsen from the get go, like I would I might even like it more, but he sort of just steps on and he's the same character he always is, which is like a James Bond villain. I mean, he's a fantastic James Bond villain. Like, I mean, he's an A+ actor, but it's just like the styles are so, like, it would have been easier to go from Mads to Johnny than it is to go from Johnny to Mads Mikkelsen. And like, if you if this was your first movie, you would be like, I like him a lot. But it's just like you feel that sort of. And then even what's his name, Colin Farrell, like plays Grindelwald in the first. So you really have like three different actors. So it's just like, oh, dude, what am I doing here? Like every step is just like awkward and fumbled and sort of weird. So it's just, yeah, it's that's ultimately like kind of my how I feel about this movie is it's actually like the least like all over the place,
right?
But
right.
It's just this movie is unfortunately bogged down by the decisions they made in the other two movies that it's hard to fix and save. Like, I don't want to say a sinking ship, but that's kind of what it felt like.
Well, okay, because actually at the end of this, we're going to talk about are they going to do five movies or four, or are they going to cut it? Are they, because it's the whole merger thing's happening.
Well,
we'll get to that.
I know all the Warner Brothers, because I'm a Warner Brothers, you know, insider basically. All the details on that.
Well, okay, so we'll get there. But like the real quick, I want to mention Dan Fogler. He has a podcast, by the way, where we're shouting out podcasts here. It's called Dan Fogler's 4D Experience. This guy, he plays Jacob. He's just so his name's Dan Fogler. Matt, he's just like a comedian. He's just he's not really in anything. This is like it for him. So I root for this simply because he is the core of this whole experience thing. And so he knocks it out of the park. Jude Law does great. Eddie Redmayne, how do you say his last name? Eddie does a great job.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's some stuff like the Ezra Miller Credence stuff. I don't know if they were going to do something.
It's not on Ezra Miller.
No,
I mean, Ezra Miller does a good job. Although now you want to talk about controversy. We did a full episode on it. He was just arrested again today. So not thankfully today. He was arrested again today.
I'm
like, I know. It's so bad.
Arrested what?
Again. He was arrested again today.
What is going in just under a month?
No, man.
Okay, I'm losing my mind here. You're right. It's breaking news like as of 4 hours ago. What?
I know.
The heck? Okay, we'll get to that in a second.
It's bad.
That's bad. See, and that's what the problem here is, that I feel bad for people like Dan Fogler and Jude Law and some of these guys who got in there. Like Jude Law was out promoting this thing pretty hard, trying to bring in, you know, more people to it and this better understanding. There's also the whole trans situation. I forget there's a couple people who went to the premiere and they were, you know, again, judged pretty hard for going and for all these different things. That just kind of, it has so many dark clouds around it that even if it were a good movie, like it could have been a nine out of 10, but I think because of all these extra little elements that you have to deal with, it's hard to not let that affect your viewing of it or whatever. Cause we're talking about recastings. So we're talking about Tina not being in it. We're talking about, you know, you might go. Right. And then if you go into it with the whole trans conversation or Ezra Miller being arrested or whatever the other drama is around it, it's just got a lot of drama around it, unfortunately, because there's good people that worked on it, good people who are acting in it and doing a good job and stuff. And it sucks that is kind of overshadowing some of these things. One thing I want to mention too, the Credence stuff. So I think they had a different plan. I don't know if this was how it was supposed to go. I will at least give it this because the pandemic forced a rescheduling. The actor who plays Tina Goldstein, totally. Right. I think they say she had an owl on this. We had she had a child in 2019,
right?
And then, you know, when you have a baby and the pandemic hits and everything, I think like acting gigs are like secondary. Like you got to take care of your child and all that kind of stuff. That's what I read. I don't break the news. We just sort of commentate on it and we're just, you know, relaying stuff that we've heard and read. But there's a lot of different reasons as to why she wasn't in this, wasn't available for it. And then she's committed to other things, right? Like right. Because they make multiple agreements. Like we're going to go in for a couple months to do this shoot, do this project, and then I got to bounce to other things. Well, there's clauses in there that say, you know, just because this was rescheduled doesn't mean you can, you're out on this. Right. You signed a contract for it and they got to make money. This is their job. So that, I feel like there could have been something different with the Credence stuff. And I, the curveball, the spoiler that I read was the Dumbledore, Aberforth Dumbledore situation.
Right.
And that just comes out of like, okay,
literally,
no,
it's like we have to find, like,
I, well, first
and
of all,
it goes nowhere too. I mean, that's the thing, is it doesn't mean anything whatsoever.
Like, yeah. That's a good point. So I think when you first said that, I was kind of like, okay, what is Matt saying there? But what happens ultimately is Credence goes and fights Dumbledore. Dumbledore does this
sick scene,
by the way, like tosses something back. Like that, what the big highs in this are the things that I talk about in Star Wars and other fandoms. You have to have master moments, these big moments, yes, where somewhat like when they brought Boba Fett in on The Mandalorian, he's got to look like Boba Fett. He can't come in and be some weak sauce character. Dumbledore could not be weak in this, and he wasn't. He was powerful.
I mean, they talk about, as was Grindelwald, by the way.
Yes.
But they the whole deal is they're like, oh, an Obscurial is so powerful. And the Dumbledore is like, I mean, he takes care of Credence like, I mean, nothing.
Nothing.
Like, I mean, nothing.
Right. So it's like you either do one or two. Like, okay, I don't know. It's like if you wanted Credence just to be that big bully, that's fine. But the connection to him being a Dumbledore, I don't know what they're doing with that. Like, he could have just been some big, you could have replaced Credence with just a fantastic beast, right?
Yes.
That you found. That you was could, this monster that Dumbledore couldn't handle. It's like almost like Grindelwald has him on a leash and he's attacking Dumbledore. You know,
you could have just made it a Fantastic Beasts movie and Newt goes to America in the first one, and you pick up Jacob. You pretty much go down the same thing, and the whole deal is more about Grindelwald. And it's just like Newt just happens to stumble into it. Like Harry, I mean, like, he's predestined for it, but like,
yeah,
he sort of stumbles into all of the situations. Yeah. He's just trying to go to school, man. I mean, he's just like, I'm just trying to, you know,
that fight came to him. Sort of comes to him.
Yeah. Exactly. You could have the thing where you could literally, I mean, you could literally strip the entire Credence thing out and you still, like, this wizarding war is building up. I mean, you don't have to you do not have to have the Credence thing in there at all. And you probably could have done this and this whole thing in three movies. And now I don't know if they're going to do a fourth. I can tell you right now, there's probably no way they're doing a fifth.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't think they are, because this just had so many different issues and stuff. And the thing too, especially with this Ezra Miller news, that Credence, by the way,
he's gone.
Well,
he's dying.
He's dying. But did you notice he's still walking down the stairs? He's still like walking down the stairs, and I'm like, is he dead or is he not? Like, I was kind of confused by that, but he's walking with Aberforth down the steps, but he's dying. And so it's like, okay, he's going to die off screen. Man.
It literally happens like pretty much off screen. It's like,
yeah, I know.
Here's Credence, who's been like the whole deal for these like three movies. And he's just like off to the side while Dumbledore and Grindelwald are staring at each other. And I will say this.
Yeah.
Like, I felt that the ending was like really long. I mean, like from the time we get to like China or wherever it is that they're at.
Yeah.
Like I just felt like, God, I don't know. I was doing really strong. And then I got there and I was like, God, this is just taking forever to sort of finish. It just felt like long, like that whole thing. And then like we get to, okay, the thing is walking up and
the chilling, right.
Like, I actually hated that the Chillin went to Dumbledore. Like, I just thought, like, we know Dumbledore's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the Chillin goes up to Dumbledore and bows. Like, while Credence is dying, like, in the background. Like, and then it goes and picks the person. It's like, we already know Dumbledore is awesome, and we know he doesn't become, like, the Grand Minister of all magic. Yeah. Like, it was so dumb. It was just like, and then it was like that happens. And then they do the always thing. And I was like, they're just doing what we've said they've been doing in the other two movies, which is like, they just are fan servicing because they don't know what else to do.
Right.
Like, I know that this was written by somebody else other than JK, but part of the issue is that JK still has like complete total control over all the Harry Potter stuff. So I'm sure that was her decision.
Right. It's almost like, you know how we had the whole in the Harry Potter series, what lands really well, like the Snape stuff is really good.
Right.
You know, this mystery, this one thread through the midst of this conflict that works. They tried that, and that thread that she's trying to pull is Credence, right? I mean, that's she's trying to make us who is Credence? Is he good? Is he bad? Is he going to join?
It feels like the way her Twitter account has felt since Harry Potter ended, and it was almost like the relevancy was slipping through her fingers. So she gets on Twitter and she's like, this person's actually," and she's just like making up lore to try and keep people excited. Like that's what it felt like.
Yeah, I know. So, I do see how, like, no, I don't know when I think about that.
And it's
like
sucks.
It sucks because
like, I really, there's some of this movie is like the best of Harry Potter. Like, it's the best of like the whole deal.
Yeah. I mean, so the idea, actually, you made a parallel to Rise of Skywalker. Very interesting. To save a movie, they tried to do the trope or whatever it is, like, assemble the crew. All the crew goes on a mighty quest. We're all single, real simple, real straightforward. They're on the train, they're gathered, and they go. That's exactly what Rise of Skywalker does with Rey. You get everybody that you love in the same room, and you say, "We're in this together. Let's go." And that's straight up what they did. And that's cool with the element of like Harry Potter, Wizarding World, and everything. And that's exactly what they tried to do to make it like. And I feel like they did that in reaction to the last movie. That's the problem. If you would have just done that, there's no way in telling. I mean, maybe I'd be saying that in the second movie had they had done it. But, just straightforward. I don't know. But like,
I mean, look, think of how much better it would have been if Dumbledore had like, here's what you should have done was Dumbledore should have had to have killed Credence. If Dumbledore had to kill Credence, he would be killing another member of his family, right? Which then we get to the moment where he's talking about his sister, and it would like, because it's so tied in with like his love with Grindelwald, like that was great. That was like really good drama. And then it was like, if you tell us that story first, then you get to Dumbledore has to kill Credence. It's even more heartbreaking. And then it shows us even more why Aberforth doesn't like him. Like then he has to fight Grindelwald and he loses him too. And it's like, dude, Dumbledore's alone, man. That would have been such heavy, heavy drama. And it would have literally like fixed so much of this movie. But instead, it's like he fights Credence and just sort of like knocks him down. Is like, I win. Like, see ya. Like, and then it's like, what? And I guess like the whole reason they did it was just to, so like they could like, do the wands to sort of like find some way to break the up with a better way. A better way to do that would have just been like Dumbledore has to break it in order to save somebody or something. Like Grindelwald's like holding it against him, like you find some way where Grindelwald forces Dumbledore to break the curse, because you already said that Grindelwald can't hurt Dumbledore, so you know, then it's like he's in a situation where you find a situation where Grindelwald is like, I want it broken. And then it makes it even more heartbreaking that Dumbledore has to do it. Like that's how you do it.
One thing where I think there was a miss too. And again, if you're going to go with the whole Credence thing, this is what was kind of mind boggling to me. Fine. They did it. Credence is Aberforth's son, which we're going to come back to in a second. Like, who was Aberforth with, by the way? Where is she at?
I guess. Does it matter? I mean,
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, does it matter? I mean, like, I don't know. Did she drown on the ship? Was that her who drowned in the second movie where the whole baby swap situation happened? Maybe. You know? I mean, like, does he? They don't even talk about her. They don't ask. They don't nothing.
But like, where?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll come back to that.
So the Credence thing, right? So Dumbledore breaks the thing. Instead of him. What I thought would have been cooler is the reason he's able to break the blood pack is because the same blood that's in it is being attacked. That he's essentially,
I know,
Grindelwald is attacking his blood. That blood droplet would say, that's also our blood. air quote, our blood, relative. And so therefore that's an attack on us. And I thought maybe something was, but then again, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it also doesn't, like, why didn't Grindelwald all of a sudden have like a heart seizure situation? Right. Well,
yes,
you know,
it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Because by that logic, it's like, if you get one, like, no family member at all could attack the other family member.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be the same blood. Yeah, I know. It was botched. It was handled poorly. Like, it was, I mean, that's all there is to it, man. It was handled poorly. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is what it is. But, like, so much of the second movie, which you just said, like, I mean, like, Newt's brother, like, is he upset or that his fiance is gone? I mean, like, they don't talk about any of that. Nagini, oh, we like, they're just gone. Like, they just do stuff. It's like, here you go. Like, they just, like, fan service stuff in just to be like, but it's not even, like, done well, at least in Star Wars. It, like you fan service something in to be meaningful. Here it's almost like we said the thing to say the thing, like, so that the audience would go, oh, they said the thing. I mean,
right. Always. They always say the thing. Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Right.
Well, the other thing, it's like, what hit in this movie were the emotions and the power and like the gravity of, like you said, the Grindelwald Dumbledore stuff. To make it even better, all they had to do was spend a little more screen time with that very, like, Leta Lestrange. How did that impact them? How did that make them? They do like a simple one thing. They hug. I've chosen my side type of thing is what they have happens at the end of the second movie. It's not talked about here at all, really. Yusuf Kama is all of a sudden cares about Leta Lestrange and has, like, his memories are gone.
I will say that when Grindelwald did that, I thought that was sick.
That was sick.
Like,
that
I mean, because it's terrible. I mean, it's absolutely like, it shows just how evil he is. And which, again, this is one of those things where it's like, I think that comes across better as a Mads Mikkelsen thing, because he is like a James Bond villain, than it would a Johnny Depp thing. So it's tough because you've given me like two totally different performances of the same character, but they're both like so unique. It's like hard. It's so hard to pick which one you like better because they're both, I think, really good, but they're just so different that it's hard. But going forward, I mean, I don't think they're going to go back to Johnny Depp, even though it seems like he's going to be, I don't know, watching the trial and everything right now. It seems like he's probably going to be doing pretty good. I mean, where do we go from here? I've actually heard a lot of people think the some of the Wall Street, you know, whatever insiders that I listen to all the news and everything is that there's two things. One would finish this, because this had like a big budget of like $200 million. I think what superhero movies get. Yeah. You could probably do a more adult focused, which these are, movie for $100 to $150 million, or maybe you do like an HBO Max limited series or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, I mean, just to finish it.
Just do 8 episodes, Dumbledore versus Grindelwald. I think that would actually be the best way to do it. Because then you're really just getting Jude Law and Mads Mikkelsen, and you're getting some other people, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then you give us that first Harry Potter HBO Max series that we all want.
Yeah. Yeah, that is what they gotta do. They've gotta wrap this up.
You technically could never touch it again. And like, it does end on a note that, like, okay, you've ended Newt and the gang's story. Like, seems like Newt's with Tina. Like, we know what happens to him. We know Dumbledore fights Grindelwald at some point here in the near future. So like, I don't think you have to do a movie to finish it.
Because at the
I don't know that I would.
Yeah. At the end, Newt says like, I'd be willing to, like, basically he kind of says,
I'd be willing to come back.
Yeah, I did this for you. I'm glad that I did. I'm glad I was able to help. Like, we broke the blood pack. He's now free to do what he wants. Like, that, the Fantastic Beast arc, right, could be done because Newt did his job. We had all the different beasts. We had all the different things going on. And we had the Obscurial, which, if you want to, whatever, you want to say that's in there as like a weird supernatural beast of some kind, whatever. Newt was studying it. So there's that whole thing. Yeah, you could wrap it up because he says, if you ever need me again, I'll be around. That doesn't mean it's going to have a fantastic beast element to it.
No.
You know? See, that's that, that. I think that also is the thing too, is that they called it Fantastic Beasts, but it's really a precursor to the Dumbledore versus Grindelwald thing. You know what I mean? It would actually almost be awkward to continue on under the Fantastic Beasts arc,
right?
To all the way to like.
You just come up with a new name for it. I don't know that. So we could dive into it now. Like where do we go from here? Because there is all that right now. It's all kind of in limbo because Warner Brothers Discovery merger is going on. And right now. So basically think about it like this. Discovery Channel basically bought Warner Brothers and they've already started cleaning house. I mean, like people are getting fired left and right. I mean, it's going to be, it's like a bloodbath over there. Wow. And because the way it used to run was unlike Disney. So like at Disney, I mean, you do have people who head this up, but it's almost like at Disney, you have like Bob Chapek, right? Who's not like new CEO who sits over like the whole company. Right. Mm-hmm. But then like inside of that, you have like, you really, it's like Star Wars, Marvel, like Pixar, all those things operate like completely independently of the others. Mm-hmm. And then they just answer to the CEO. Well, at Warner Brothers, they have like all of the movies, regardless of whether they're a DC thing or Wizarding World thing or anything. They all sort of answer to this guy who he just got fired. He was like head of like Warner Media. Well, he's like leaving. He has like his contract expires. It's not getting renewed. So it's kind of like all the movies operate under the same thing, regardless of the fact that like they don't really, like you can't view them as the same thing. Like even Disney and Star Wars, like you have to view them under different sets of rules because you can't like say, like you can have a 3-hour Marvel movie, you know, or we're going to do it this way or whatever. Like same thing with Star Wars. So that is one thing that's changing. The big rumors that are going around right now, although I don't know if it's going to be happening anytime soon because Discovery Channel just bought Warner Brothers and obviously that costs an insane amount of money. And part of the reason that Warner Brothers was sold from AT&T was AT&T has had like an insane amount of debt, like $100 billion in debt. Because the whole reason AT&T bought Warner Brothers was because, and I think the idea was actually a good idea, was they said, hey, we are a phone company. Everyone uses phones now to watch content. Yeah. We will eventually be able to offer you HBO Max. But at the time when they bought it, we will be able to offer you, like, if you have AT&T, you get HBO Max. Like, we control the whole, we control the whole thing. Part of the problem was AT&T also bought like DirecTV. That was an enormous failure. So they went through this big phase of like buying all of these different things and they incurred so much debt and some of them didn't begin to pay off as quickly as others that it was just like too hard to sort of maintain all that debt, especially because on the stock market, things trade at a, it's called like price to earnings and like multiples. So like certain things will, like the stock will move higher than other things just because of the type that it's in. So like Netflix and Disney and all these streaming service, like content, like movie studios and stuff trade at like a much higher multiple than phone companies, like telecom does.
Okay.
So like AT&T and Verizon don't move very fast.
Right.
Even if they have like no debt and all this stuff, they just don't move as fast as like other things do. Like tech trades like insanely high. So the stocks like will run up higher and people are fine with like the value being slightly higher or something like that. Yeah. So part of the reason they sort of spun off Warner Brothers was because it trades way higher than phones do. Phones do. So like it wasn't reflecting. So it was hard for AT&T to carry it. So anyway, so they sold it to Discovery Channel. But in order to do that, Discovery said, hey, we'll take on some of the insane amount of debt you took to buy this deal. So now they have a lot of that debt to carry. But the big rumor going around right now is that Warner Brothers is going to offer JK a George Lucas style deal to outright buy Wizarding World from her because one, she's like super creative control, and two, how much, you know, at least certainly people on Wall Street believe that, and Hollywood believe that her name is hurting the value of Wizarding World.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And you know, it's interesting to say, like, George Lucas stuck with Star Wars. I mean, he did, you know, all the way through the prequels and everything, watched Clone Wars go on, did all that sort of stuff. He allowed, and I guess it's different because he wasn't like the author of a series. He was,
right,
again, was the writer, director, creator of the whole bad thing, right? It's right. Been around for 40 plus years. It's doing awesome. And yeah, he makes a big deal on that and does well. I mean, do I still wish he were involved? Yeah, but it's a different person. It's a different guy. He's consulted on stuff. And that's the thing too. Then they have the option. Look, if you want to consult her on something and bring her in behind the scenes and do what, If you're willing to take that risk as a studio and all those things. Yeah. If she sold it, I would be all for it. Just sell it. Make your money. Go do your thing. And let us make more content with it, you know?
Right. Yeah. See, so the deal was, and I think people actually don't know this when they say, so part of the reason George Lucas does still get consulted very much on Star Wars is his $4 billion deal was not cash. It was not all cash. They didn't just say, here's $4 billion. He actually got $2 billion in Disney stock. So George Lucas actually owns like 2%, 2.1% of Disney.
That's cute.
He does carry in the world of the stock market and the way everything works. Right. He does carry a very significant portion. I mean, 2% of a company, especially that large, like you have like insane voting power. Yeah. You know, like what is it? Elon Musk just bought. How much did he buy? 25% or did he buy 5% of Twitter? But regardless, he's planning on buying it all. But you get a seat on you if you own a certain amount, you can get like a seat on the board, and then you have like serious voting. So like George Lucas does have a very like strong stake in Disney. Like he could you know rally people if he like wanted to go down that route, like I want to change from
something. Oh, man.
Because it's like that's an insane amount, like
that gives me hope
of the company. It does, yeah. So, if JK, you know, how much is Harry Potter worth? To at this point, I would say, I would say probably same thing. I would say that Star Wars was worth way more when Disney bought it because like Harry Potter is really just the books, the movies, and like there's merchandise, but it's not like Star Wars was where there's like thousands of books and video games and comics that stuff. I mean, there are Harry Potter video games, but it's not the same. Like Star Wars is a way bigger brand.
Right, it is.
So I would say that now I'd probably say around the anywhere in a range 1 to 10 billion mm-hmm. that the Harry Potter franchise is worth. Wizarding World is worth. And I think that if you did get it out of J.K. Rowling's hands, one, you'd see way more content getting coming, and then you would no longer have like her associated with it. I mean, yes, she'd still make money off of it and everything, but it would no longer be under her control, and I think that would be better for everything. There is one issue, is that Universal, which is like NBC, Comcast, mm-hmm. ultimately, does own the rights to Harry Potter on television. So that's why it's always on like NBC. Like the movies are always streaming on NBC. Okay. So you couldn't outright. So that's kind of the hang up as to why there's not an HBO. I was doing some research on this. That is kind of the hang up on why there isn't a Harry Potter HBO Max thing yet. Because
they have to deal with that.
Does streaming count as television? Like if they were to announce it tomorrow, could NBC step in and be like, well, because like we haven't really defined like
What's TV, what's streaming?
What's TV, what's streaming? Yeah.
Wow. That's intricate. Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if they would want to go to a legal battle on that. Would that be worth it? You know, I don't know.
I don't know. You could also
when there's money involved.
Yes, you could just do a joint thing. But if I'm my guess is that Discovery, which Warner Brothers Discovery now, would fight it tooth and nail, and they would probably win.
They probably would. Yeah, they definitely probably would.
Because it's not TV.
No. Mm-mm. And that's. So what do you think the likelihood is that she would sell?
If you offer enough money, I think she would. But at the same time, JK is totally different than George Lucas. Like George Lucas he also, keep in mind, he didn't just sell Star Wars. He sold Lucas Arts.
That's true.
Which includes Indiana Jones. And George Lucas has also been involved in some of the absolute biggest projects that have ever existed in cinema. Cause I mean, he's done tons of stuff with Steven Spielberg, outside of those things. JK Rowling pretty much just has Harry Potter. It's her one thing, and everything she's tried since Harry Potter has not been very good. The main series,
right.
She wrote the first two Fantastic Beasts movies and kind of flopped. I mean, Cursed Child, the play kind of saved it, but
Right. I see. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Matt, I'm just looking. I went to her. I can't believe I'm doing this live on the show. I went to her Twitter. And I'm trying to understand a few things here. Writer sometimes known as Robert Galbraith.
Right.
Robert Galbraith. Is that a name she writes under or something?
Maybe.
Oh, the Comormon Strike series.
Yeah, she's wrote just because some you don't like. Because it's adult fiction, so you don't necessarily want to put J.K. Rowling on it. Because
okay,
you know what I mean. Yeah. Okay. A lot of artists do that every now and then. Like Garth Brooks once did a metal record, but he didn't list it as Garth Brooks. He'd use a different name because you see the name. It's kind of like how Disney releases what is the other Disney brand? It's Touchstone or something like that.
Okay.
Not DreamWorks, but you'd know it if.
Yeah. It's something I get is you don't want to have the Disney mark on it. Yeah.
Right. You don't want to have the Disney mark on it, even though Disney ultimately owns it.
Cause you're marking it to different crowd. Different right. Areas. Yeah. Okay. So anyways, I'm just thinking here. So your point is maybe if she's not a success, she doesn't, Lucasfilm was a whole different level, you know, what George had to offer. And he was honestly tired, you know, he was done. His days of he didn't want to work on that level, you know, the tank had kind of run empty. The difference with J.K. Rowling is that, as you said, hasn't had that same level of success, doesn't seem to be trending in that direction. She's going to be making out of the park novels and series. And it seems anything she does work on, you got community after community working against her, even though she's filthy rich. The whole point is maybe she does take the money because she's I don't really see this working out as much.
I mean, right now she's listed as being worth around, this is euro or pounds, maybe. I don't know.
Pounds, yeah.
So she's worth roughly $1 billion. So I say Harry Potter's the Wizarding World franchise. I mean, it's gotta be worth $10 billion. I mean, really, because I mean, you're talking movies. I mean, just how much is it just worth just to own the Harry Potter movies and have them sit only on HBO Max. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you license them out to other Peacock and all this other stuff but. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's
right. So here's the thing, too. I mean, it's would you if she's no amount of money is going to move me one way or the other? Well, they're not going to make anything then. You're not going to make any more stuff.
Well, the problem, I don't know, because Warner Brothers owns the rights to the Harry Potter movies. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of how HBO, which is Warner Brothers ultimately, owns they don't own Game of Thrones. They do, but they don't own A Song of Ice and Fire, George mm-hmm. R.R. Martin's books.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of a lot of people end up buying the TV film rights.
Right.
But then it's kind of tricky because sometimes it's does an author have to sign off on it? Yes or no. It's kind of how Sony owns Spider-Man. They own an aspect of Spider-Man and they can do like whatever they want with it, where they're like, okay, well, we're going to make 25 Spider-Man movies, and there's nothing that Disney, who owns Marvel and owns like the rights to the Spider-Man comics, can do about it.
Yeah. Got it. Wow.
Yeah. Touchstone Pictures, by the way, was the thing I was talking about. So again, yeah, so this is a Disney owned property, but they did movies like, you know, Pretty Woman, Lincoln, Pearl Harbor, Signs, Armageddon, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, The Water Boy, you know, I mean, Con Air. So like movies you wouldn't necessarily like, not bad movies or anything, just, you know, more adult movies, I guess, that you wouldn't necessarily want like the Mickey Mouse Disney like association with.
Right. I get you. Yeah. Yeah. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
All this stuff on Twitter, you know, can we have a press conference? Can we just have like a, I read it and I don't know, like I'm reading Twitter and people talk in such coded language.
I know.
It just, I'm like, just speak plainly. Like, what is it you're trying to say? All these subtle jabs, all this different stuff, all this wordsmithing going on. It's just irritating to me. Just like say what you want to say. This passive aggressive stuff. I don't know. I'm skimming through it, and it's just like, I don't know. It's just crazy. Sorry, man. It's like,
yeah, see right here. So like, let me see. Yeah, so the Harry Potter thing is so like Wizarding World is what it's ultimately called. I know we think of it as Harry Potter, but it's Wizarding World is the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like NBC pretty much owns the commercial TV rights for all 8 Harry Potter films, as well as both on-air and digital rights to properties of any Wizarding World offshoots. So that would include, you know, the Fantastic Beasts movies. Eventually they can, I don't know if they have, you know, you show those on NBC, whatever, Peacock, whatever. But then also I would assume if there's an HBO Max series, that's kind of the hang up, I think, right now, is like there's a little bit of legal back and
forth. Yeah, I'm just wondering why they even, for the Fantastic Beasts, keep her around.
I don't know. It's maybe you have to. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. There must be some legal thing, because when people work, like when it involves money and ratings and review, they'll cut. It's right. Like, hey, man.
Well, right now is the best time to buy ever. There's never been a better time for Warner Brothers to be like, hey, we want to. I mean, unfortunately, well, I guess I don't know. I guess I would say that whatever debt you want to take out.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to, because I don't think they have the cash on hand. And again, also businesses use loans all the time because,
yeah,
you know, it's actually better. Yeah. Well, it's better financially to take.
Oh, yeah.
But regardless, I would offer J.K. Rowling, you know, $10 billion, because right now is the best time to buy ever. You're completely restructuring your company, and these 3 movies have flopped. I mean, just say it. You know, kind of fairly. I mean, whether they're good or not, whatever. Financially, they have not been as strong as they have hoped. So there's never been a better time to just be like, what would it take for you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody comes knocking at your door and they say, we're going to, no matter how rich you are, I mean, she's only worth $1 billion. Somebody says, we're willing to give you $10 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just take it. Like, then go work on something else. Go
right.
Do your thing.
Because I think it's worth it. Because look at how much money Disney has made since they bought both Star Wars and Marvel.
Yeah, for the companies, for sure. Yeah, exactly. I wonder, like, if she herself would see that as, it's just, you know, can you put a dollar amount for her on
right.
Harry Potter.
And I would say though that she's locked into Warner Brothers. Like, she could never, because Warner Brothers has the rights to all the movies, like mm-hmm. they like the TV, the movie rights, she couldn't like sell it to Disney or anything. It's like, you're either selling it to Warner Brothers, or like, I guess you could sell the book rights to somebody else, but mm-hmm. there'd be no reason to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems silly. I hope it would be really cool if that happened, just so we could have more, you know, content, you know what I mean? Just more
right.
And then you're no longer have the stigma of J.K. Rowling on it. Whether you agree with her or not, like,
yeah, just either you want
regardless, she's controversial. Like, honest to God have not read enough into it. Like, I don't know.
No, you know, same here.
People on one side are like, she's like this. People on the other side are like, she's like this. I don't really know. I don't really have any desire to actually look into it because I'm just here to talk about, like, you know,
kick-ass. We're story guys. We just like this. Yeah, we like
the story, right?
Plot and, you know, things that we like, the nostalgia factors and all that kind of stuff. You know, we went to the book releases and all that kind of stuff, watched the films and theaters. Right. And so that's what we're here for. And even when I talk about Star Wars, it's like, I'm glad, actually, as much as I actually love George Lucas and think he's done he's a good person, a good man, donates his money just the same way J.K. Rowling, you know what I mean, has done a good thing, right, and put good out in the world. He wanted that to continue. That's right. What I always have admired about him is that he said, no, you guys want to write some books over there after Return of the Jedi? Go ahead. Just remember, right, when I come through, it's going to be, he had that mental sort of like, what is decanonize it? Move it over here. No problem. People still get a great, we're one, going to make money. Authors get to come in, promote their name. I mean, it's really like a collaborative type of thing. He brings people in. He builds a company and these people around, right, him. That is not even close to what she's doing. And it's a great world. It's a fantastic idea. And it's magical and all those different things. That's awesome. And I think we're thankful for all those things. But it will not continue. You know, like you said, Matt, whether you agree with it or not, people who are in power, like your boss, right? If I go to work and I'm controversial and I'm fired, I'm gone.
Right.
And then my impact, you know, that I can have on students and people and whatever, it goes away. So you're unable to do that. I don't know, man. I just am like, I want, because I there's so much magic and there's so many good lessons that can be taught through this. There's so many adults that have kids that they could raise in a wizarding world and share with them these wonderful lessons and stuff. But those kids will want new content,
right?
Just like in Star Wars, they are, like you and I were talking about this earlier. They want, you know, like, you have a generation who is prequel kids. That's us. You've got your sequel kids. You've got your Clone Wars kids and Order 66 faction in there. You know what I mean? You've got all the rebels and stuff because it grows and it grows with them. But it's,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited that you said that, though. At least it's an option.
That's sort of the, you know, insider rumblings that I'm, because I listen to all the Hollywood, you know, especially like the Hollywood finance people. I listen to all their rumblings and everything.
Yeah.
That's sort of what the closed doors is.
Money speaks right now.
I think it would, especially like the difference is, like, I don't know. Part of me doesn't wish that George Lucas ever sold Star Wars because I don't know that Disney's entire handling of it has been great, but I would say now they seem to be on the right track.
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
had some stumbling blocks there. You know, there's advantages and disadvantages too. Would Disney ever write something like Order 66 into a movie? I don't know. They did use the Starkiller base to take out an entire like galaxy, but it's totally different than showing Anakin staring at a kid and then having a lightsaber turn on, right?
Right. I know.
and it's just different companies. Whereas Warner Brothers is way, I mean, these movies are dark. These Fantastic Beasts movies, I mean, this is adult Harry Potter, man. I mean, like,
yeah,
Grindelwald slashes the throat of that creature.
And that was an innocent chilling, just chilling.
The one girl whose name, I don't even know if we ever know, she's just like part of Dumbledore's or Grindelwald's little gang.
Yeah.
Chiavata Kadavra's a little kid.
I know. You know what's crazy is that I don't know that her name's ever mentioned in the film. I think you have to like go look that up and it's an extra thing. It's like,
well, I know, like, the whole deal is about like a kid being Avada Kedavra, but it's different because it's Harry and it bounces off of him. And it's like the whole deal. This, they just flat out Avada Kedavra, a little kid, gone.
That caused a lot of issues. People were really, it felt out of tone with what they were used to in the wizarding world. And you're like, whoa, there's different ways to show it. And they, because it was already evil enough, they went and killed those people and stuff. You didn't have to sell us. You don't have to really sell us on he's that evil.
Yeah. Which Grindelwald did you like more?
That's so tough because I really did want to see Johnny Depp keep going. I really did. I really liked him. And I thought it'd be really cool because he's so different to see him right. with Jude Law. I was like, that's right. going to be awesome.
I know.
Their dynamic would have been so cool. I mean, Mads does a great job, but it's like we said, you can't replace him. Like,
yeah. It's just, yeah. And it's just so tough because it's like Mads, like, it's like, I'm not trying at all to diminish like Mads Mikkelsen's role because it's so, it was so good and he is so good, but it's just like, it's just so hard to, it's like Robin Williams. It's like, it would be hard to go from Robin Williams to like another, because he's like, he was, I mean, obviously like so unique. Like you could go from Jude Law to somebody else.
Yes.
You right.
Could. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a great actor, but yeah, you
yeah. You know what I mean? But it's just like Johnny Depp is like, it's like Emma Thompson, right? Who's Trelawney.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Trelawney,
yeah.
She's like so like, you know, sort of like unique as an actress. It'd be like so hard to go from her to
right
to somebody else.
There are people out there cursing us right now for saying that about Jude Law. But I mean, like, because he's so beloved.
I mean, he's great. I mean,
but the thing is, what we're trying to say is that like Johnny Depp is so in a different box.
Specific.
Like there's tons of people who have done the rom-coms and a lot of different, like, I don't know, that lead role that look a lot like, sound a lot like, act, you know, that do what Jude Law does.
It was in Gattaca too. I mean, that was all right, maybe.
No. That's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You could replace Jude Law with Mads Mikkelsen and it would still be, and like, that would work. That's what I'm saying. Is like you could Johnny Depp though is just so specific, like it's just hard because they were both great. I mean, Mads, like the scene where like he's like in the pool with the chitlin and then like boom right up on like Creedence. Like don't ever like test me again.
Don't lie. That was sick. That was a sick scene. And they, even when he uses
their fight, we didn't talk their fight at the end too. Their little bit of dueling, like happened so quick, but it was awesome.
It was awesome. That's what you say. Like there are really good highs. What Dumbledore does, there's still mysteries. You know, you can tell it's not like entirely finished, but they also said, hey, at the end, let's make this seem like it could wrap up in a bow here.
In
the event that we need it to, isn't that telling? By the way, that they did it that way.
How would you do an extended? I guess we could do that.
Yeah, what you mean, like do an extended? Just talk about
how because I've already sort of laid out like what the possibilities were. We could just do like how would we go about ending it? Like what would we show? What would we do? Would you do like a series? Would you do a movie?
I mean, from this point forward. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do that in extended. Let's do that in extended.
Yeah.
And we'll carry the conversation there. Because, I have an idea as to how we can end this bad boy. They should hire me.
They should hire. I've been preaching that I should work at Warner Brothers.
I'm less controversial.
You're right.
As far as I know.
So. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, thank you guys for listening, as always. We super appreciate it. We will be back with our review of a movie that we have no disagreements on, which is the Sorcerer's Stone.
That's right.
That'll be our next thing because we did finish the first book. So stay tuned for that. Be sure to check out all of our other projects as well on iTunes, everywhere you can get your podcasts, as well as YouTube. And we've been creating some short content and some TikToks, stuff like that as well. I've been creating things on my TikTok. I cover just sort of everything that Ez and I cover. I cover on mine, which is at Super Games Bros. Ez, you just started one. Right, that it's going to be all kind of encompass all stuff as well.
Yeah, all stuff as well. So I got Hyperspace Hangout is definitely where I do all Star Wars or whatever, and then I've also got at Super Easy Lore, which is where I'm going to try to do sort of the same thing Matt's doing, which is just hit everything that we talk about. I also kind of weave in some Lord of the Rings stuff because it's a fandom I do with my buddy Lane, but you know that project might not be continuing, so. Kind of like, I want a way to go in there and keep that up. So go check that out. Also got a little YouTube channel too, where I'm doing some reactions on there as well. For that, it's just fun. These shorts are fun. I tell you, my students have been telling me like they like it. It's where they're at. They want the information. They want to know like the short, interesting facts about stuff. And we forget, man. I mean, well, you and I don't forget because we're doing the content, but we're old. When I talk to those kids, I'm like,
let me tell you, man, it is.
They want to know that stuff. I feel like I'm getting to that Dumbledore stage, the Obi-Wan Kenobi stage, where let me pass on what I have learned, all my nerdy stuff behind me that I've read and learned. Let me give it to you in a 1 minute TikTok. Okay. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Absolutely. All right, guys. Wait, stay tuned. Check out all that stuff. And as always, remember to have your wands at the ready.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.